This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Carbon Leaf. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Barry Privett of Carbon Leaf. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks.
Good to see you. And I want to make sure that I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
You got it right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I want to just tell listeners, as I'm trying to be as open and honest as I can with listeners, and I will say that and confess to some degree that I just came to your band just here in the last few days because, as I mentioned, your excellent publicist got right on contacting us and turning us on to your music. And so I thought you'd be a great addition to the program. So I'm going to be kind of learning some things as we go about the band, just as our listeners might. And I'm sure with some folks, I'd be very familiar with your stuff. What I want to start with, Barry, well, first of all, we want to mention Indian Summer Revisited, which is the most recent recording project.
Right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail. Maybe I want to start with Ashland, Virginia.
Okay. Let's start there.
Let's start there.
Have a bumper sticker that they're proud of it's called Ashland, the center of the universe. So that is a good place to start.
Well, sure.
Good. Which is ironic because there's not a whole lot there other than the college that we went to school.
Well, talk about, you know, I'm always fascinated to hear about how a sense of place dictates to a musician or inspires a musician or a band, you know, in terms of sounds or just a particular culture. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think our music definitely has kind of a sense of place. And I would say Indian Summer, the album that we're touring behind, is probably, you know, one of the biggest kind of senses of time and place for me personally. But that's kind of, I guess, your goal when you're writing a record, is to kind of make it a timestamp, you know, mm-hmm. and hopefully in the most successful ones, whether you're a musician or a fan, you know, you can think back to that time and it takes you back to that time. And that's what's so kind of special about the long form, you know, mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. the dying art of the long form album,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But to answer the question with Ashland, Virginia, that's where the band met. That's where we went to school. While that's where everything kind of started, it's not where any kind of original new material was being born yet. You know, that still took us several years to kind of understand what we were doing.
Well, talk a little bit about how that came about.
Yeah, so when we first formed, you know, Virginia, there's a lot of colleges in Virginia, and you can, back in the day, it was a very active kind of place for bands to get gigs, and we could spend every weekend just trotting around from college to college doing shows at whatever, on campus or fraternities or sororities and things like that. I mean, this, when we were doing it, that was like the thing, and you could make a lot of money and kill a lot of time. Uh-huh. Doing that. So, you know, you kind of got into that culture, for, you know, when you're a young kid doing this thing, and, you know, lasts for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I remember kind of when we released our first album and started really, you know, making a stab as kind of taking ourselves a little more seriously. You know, we lost all those, you know, all of our kind of contemporaries, you know, the people in their, you know, 20s making the transition from college to real life, you know, but still would have any reason to go out, you know, and now we kind of lost all of that, you know, when we kind of started not playing to everybody's expectations just on an entertainment level.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through some growing pains, you know, with that, but we stuck it out, and it took us, you know, 2 or 3 albums to kind of find what our sound would be and what would attract, you know, fans of our original music, you know, back into the band's fold.
Holiday quiet on these streets, except for some stubborn leaves that didn't fall with the fall, and now they clatter in vain. Holiday sky, midnight clear, wind is high, hard to steer. Old muffler rumbles like an old fighter plane, in search of some rest, in search of a break from a life of tests, where something's always at stake, where something's always so far. What about my broken car? What about my life so far? What about my dream? What about everything? What about airplanes? And what about ships that drank the sea? What about the moon and stars? What about soldier battle scars and all the anger that me, come away with me and we'll see if I was right on that night that a future was made before time takes each year like a knife, cuts it clear. It's school, then work, and then life that you sharpens the blade. I think about time for fun, I think about time for play, but I think about being done with no resume. And fame, what about your love to obtain? What about the ring? What about everything? What about aeroplanes? And what about ships that drank the sea? What about the moon and stars? What about soldier battle scars and all?
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Barry Privett of Carbon Leaf. We want to talk about Indian Summer Revisited. If I understand correctly, this is an entirely re-recording of one of your first albums.
Yes. So Indian Summer was released 10 years ago. It turned 10 this September. We left our record label in 2010. Indian Summer was the first of three albums on Vanguard Records from 2005 to 2010. So of our 21-year career, there was 5 years that was spent on a record label. Mm-hmm. We have spent 2010 through 2013 back to being an independent band again, releasing our own material outside of label structure. So we had released our, five projects in the course of, these couple of years. So we had been very intense with new material with the goal of getting everything out quicker. Directly to the fans, and kind of tired, we're like, what's next? We released two albums in 2013 alone.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so we were like, what do we do? And we were like, well, Indian Summer's going to be 10. Why don't we, celebrate it? And we got excited about that idea after kind of pushing with new music. We're like, why don't we take a look back at, the past a little bit, mm-hmm. We've just turned 20 as a band.
Yeah.
It seemed like a neat kind of fit to do. But the label that we're no longer with, owns the master recording of Indian Summer, which, often is the case. That's mm-hmm. kind of the game, right?
Yeah.
So there wasn't a whole lot we could do that was going to, benefit us other than just say, hey, happy birthday, Indian Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Go support the record label.
Yeah, right.
So we did a little digging and, we're like, I think there's, let's check out the sunset clause with the contract on the label and just kind of see where the parameters are. And, the thing that we kind of knew in the back of our minds is that while they owned the recording, they didn't own the songs. We retained the rights to the songs. The songs are ours. Mm-hmm. It's just that the recording that the right. songs are on is yeah. owned by the label. Well, we kind of digging through the contract, realized that we could go in and re-record if we wanted to. And so that's what we did. We just, our goal was to emulate Indian Summer, make it sound like, if that's your favorite Carbon Leaf record, to make it sound like the original, but just with kind of more of an organic breath, infused into it, with the band having, played it for 10 years.
Yeah, oh, that makes a lot of sense. You've lived in those songs.
We have
for 10 years.
We have, and there was, when you're recording and when you're creating, that the album which we recorded independently, and the label ended up licensing the album, so it's not like we were writing for the label or had an AR guy up our nose. But when you're writing, you're coming up with a lot of stuff on the fly. A lot of it's happy accidents that become what the song, gives the song its character.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was concern that we were not going to be able to nail that. But we got the tapes from the studio that we recorded and really kind of analyzed the sounds and really did our best to sonically kind of have it sound like the album, but just kind of played better, it was a fun kind of archaeological process to not mess up someone's favorite record and then say, hey, buy this, it's, uh-huh. it's, the new and improved version or whatever.
Apologize that I-
Barry, you mentioned Vanguard Records and being on that label and then leaving that label to go back to being an independent artist. And from what I understand, you guys did a kind of a Pledge Music campaign to do the release of Indian Summer Revisited. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit because it's something obviously a lot of musicians are embracing to get their music out and to get a deeper connection perhaps to the folks who've been supporting their work. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so PledgeMusic.com is the site that hosted our pledge campaign, and it's basically a Kickstarter for musicians. Okay, and the band can create. It's kind of geared towards more experiential offers for kind of the band fan relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just hey, buy our album, it's like come up with offers that would connect you to the fan and vice versa in a little bit, just in a different way. So it could be anything from custom hand-framed, you know, signed lyrics, or come to the studio and, you know, hang with us for the day while we record something, learn a little bit about our process, have a barbecue, that kind of stuff. It could be, you know, we can come in and do an acoustic house concert, just any level of thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't want all that, you can just, you know, buy the download of the album. So it's basically a way to just involve the fan to whatever level they want, make it easy for them. It's one site, and not just harass them for, you know, months on end saying, buy our record, buy our record, buy our record, buy our record.
Mm.
It's like, here's what we're doing. We would like your help, you know, funding this project.
Yeah.
And put it on the table. And then, you know, what comes in is what you have to work with.
So have you done any barbecues yet with folks?
We have. This is the second pledge campaign we've done. We did one for Constellation Prize, which we released last year. And we've done some studio hangs. I think we did like maybe 5 or 6 last year. We have 10 of them coming up this coming year, and we've also done some house concerts, kind of Carbon Leaf barbecue house concerts, where we come in and you know play and kind of more intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the fans insist on making the barbecue themselves. So
Okay.
It was just going to be us doing it. Uh-huh. But so far everyone's been like, no, we're doing it. You know, uh-huh. And you've got guys that are like really into barbecue. It's like, yeah. It's like a thing. So
just on a personal level, what's that like for you to have that kind of connection? I mean, in days gone by, those were experiences that, I mean, I suppose those kind of things happen, but it seems like more and more I'm talking to musicians and bands that, A, seek out those kind of experiences with the people who are supporting their work and also enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's on a personal level, you know?
Well, you know, when you play a show, I mean, I guess it just depends on the kind of band you are.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we've always... You know, we've always been pretty affable, pretty down to earth. Kind of, we're a hardworking band. We've done most everything ourselves on our own out of necessity. I mean, we were younger starting out, and we couldn't buy help. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So you learn to do everything by yourself, and
right.
You know, with that comes an appreciation for what you do have, and you know what our ex-manager, you know, at one point said, you know. Look, you know, when we were talking about the frustration of marketing and reaching people and, you know, throwing the net, you know, to find, you know, new fish, he's like, look, we've got, you know, we don't have a lot of money. What we've got is, you know, we've got an email list. That's kind of stuck with me. You know, we've got our fans. And so by focusing on them, you know, that's kind of where we're going. That's the best place you can invest your, you know, your time is in your fans. And so we come out after the shows and we, you know, have conversations with people. We respond to their messages on Facebook and their emails mm-hmm. and things like that. And, you know, if someone throws in a request, we consider it, you know, so it is kind of a tactile thing for us. And, you've got to kind of super serve that appreciation of someone that's really interested in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, without it, you're not a band. It's hard enough to be a band on the road, you know,
right.
And without a huge promotional, you know, purse behind you, you know, you've got to dig.
Chase the high ground where you'd rather be, where you might be found. Face all aglow to leave from here, to pack up and go. But it takes some time to get away, and you will have to build from what remains. To run, it takes the courage of a lamb, to love the fierceness of a storm. Paloma, you wonder if you'll miss the thunder, and everyone's staring, no one is caring for you now. Just spread your wings, latch on to the breeze, just take the lead, and you're free. Chase the higher ground, where you'd rather be, where you might be found. This move may erase the troubles in your head, or expose the absence of your soul. And so it takes some time to get away, and you will have to tear down what remains. And I can't stand by for goodbyes, so hold on to me or leave the way. Paloma, you wonder if you'll miss the thunder, and everyone's staring, no one is caring for you now. Just spread your wings, latch on to the breeze, just take the lead, you're free. Pace yourself when outrunning fear, take cover when it's dark, and keep an even keel. In your world you're only a phone away, but in my world you're too far to feel. And it may take some time to learn what's real, and you may have to beg and borrow, and you will surely steal. Remember all those lonely sessions turned into yesterday's lessons. To never forget love, to never forget love. Paloma, you wonder if you'll miss the thunder. Everyone's staring, but no one is caring for you now. Just spread your wings, latch on to. Just take the leap, and you're
free. We've talked a couple times now about being full band, five guys in the band. You're doing tons of shows on the road. Talk about the dynamics of just five guys. That's always the factor that intrigues me. You can find five musicians that you work with great, that you have great energy with. Do you all get along? You
know, right.
The different personalities, you guys are living together, you're experiencing life together right now on the road. I'm always fascinated with how that works.
Exactly. How does it work? It's like, the fact that any band can last for more than 5 years is a miracle in and of itself. You know, we do get along. Three of us have been in the band since its inception, three of the five. And then our drummer and bassist have been part of Carbon Leaf for 7 years. So even the new guys have been on for a long time. And that doesn't happen if you don't get along. And so you've got several things going on. You've got, you know, do you have musical chemistry together? Are you interested in each other's ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get along?
can all of that work in the construct of a business relationship? You know, it's like, can you work together?
Yeah.
It's like, you can be friends. You don't have to work together. And then out external forces just from, you know, that are trying to come in to, you know, break the band up, just good old life itself. You know, when you're younger, you've got no ties to anything. As you get older, you know, you gain more assets.
Life
assets, you know what I mean? You might have a family, you might have a mortgage, you might have a pet that you've got to feed.
Plants that need watering.
Plants that need watering, you know, or health needs or whatever,
you know
what I mean? So when we started, we had nothing but just all the time in the world with part-time jobs. And, you know, now we've got three guys with, you know, six kids in total. And, you know, it's a real world.
carbonleaf.com. It's spelled just like it sounds. It might be spelled carbonleaf.com. That's the name of the website where you can find out more about what the group is doing. And Indian Summer Revisited is the name of the most recent recording. Thank you so much, Barry, for making time to be a guest on Musician Spotlight. And I hope we get a chance to talk down the road.
Hope so.
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Carbon Leaf. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.